Ngā mihi kia koutou katoa. I'm Claudette Hawiti. Welcome to Wātea News Parimata Pātai. This is a daily highlights package from Question Time in the Parliamentary Debating Chamber. We hear questions being asked of the Coalition Government, National, ACT, New Zealand First, by the opposition benches. Question Time is where the opposition holds the government to account, so opposition benches can only ask pātai. They can't take questions. Questions to the government can range from clarification or justification on policies, their responses or reaction to issues or events happening outside of Parliament and internationally that may affect Aotearoa New Zealand. This is Question Time from the House on Tuesday, the 28th of May. To open Parliament, e tatalo, a karakia, to celebrate Samoan Language Week. The tatalo from Labour's MP for Māngere, Lamonga Lydia Sorsene, can be heard at the end of this hōtaka. First up, Te Pāti Māori co-leader Debbie Nāre Wapaka, her pātai to the Prime Minister Christopher Luxon, highlights the contradiction between comments he made at Waitangi in 2024 with the current policies of the Coalition Government. The Speaker of the House is the Right Honourable Jerry Brownlee.
We come now to oral questions. The first in the name of Debbie Nāre Wapaka.
Atalofa e te pika. My question is to the Prime Minister. What did he mean when he stated on Waitangi Day 2024 the obligations Te Tiriti imposes, quotes, on both sides will always be with us, unquote?
Well, just that it's actually the founding document of New Zealand. We'll continue to honour it.
Supplementary. Just take it away. How is removing references to treaty principles from over 40 pieces of legislation meeting his treaty obligations?
Democracy.
I think that question mischaracterises what we're doing. What we're asking for is actually making sure that when there are references to the treaty and legislation, it's actually very specific to the application of that legislation.
According to Minister of Resources Shane Jones, the Coalition Government's agreement is to review multiple references to the principles of Te Tiriti in policy and legislation. He says the use of the reference is inconsistent across ministries. He says if they don't add value to the policy or the legislation, then they should be removed.
Supplementary. How do policies such as Fast Track Approvals Bill, the Treaty Principles Bill, the removal of Section 7AA from the Oranga Tamariki Act, the Ministerial Alienation of Te Reo Māori, and the disestablishment of Māori wards in the Māori Health Authority meet the Crown's obligations to Te Tiriti or Waitangi?
Well, I reject the characterisation of that question. What I'd say to you is I could take each of those issues and say why we're making the changes that we are. We don't believe a Māori Health Authority actually delivers for better health outcomes for Māori, period. We think there's other ways to deal with it. We think we can do that through working and partnering with local iwi health organisations, as an example. That's our position. We're very clear about it.
Supplementary question, the Right Honourable Winston Peters.
A quota of supplementary questions are allocated to each party depending on its size. They can be used by each party as they see fit. You'll see the party leaders making use of supplementaries or very senior ministers and MPs. Parties aren't obliged to ask a supplementary question just for the sake of it, but you will notice that New Zealand First leader Winston Peters uses supplementaries often to support his coalition partners.
Is it the Prime Minister's view that MMP has delivered far greater representation of Māori in this Parliament than any other left-wing woke idea, or dare I say it, ethnic preference idea?
I'm incredibly proud of the Māori representation we have in this Cabinet.
Here. I am too.
Speaker. A point of order, Right Honourable Chris Hipkins.
Mr Speaker, whether you could indicate what ministerial responsibility the Prime Minister has for previous election results.
That's very true. He has none, but he was asked if he would reflect upon a situation. And I think the question, when it says all statements, all actions, etc., allows that. Question number two, Stuart Smith.
This year is Minister Willis's first budget, so a lot's riding on this because the Coalition Government has been playing up its fiscally prudent and responsible budget. The following is what's called a patsy question. It's a pātai that allows the government to wax lyrical about a policy, bill or position.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is to the Minister of Finance. What recent announcements has she made about the budget?
The Honourable Nicola Willis.
Mr. Speaker, yesterday I joined the Prime Minister to outline further details of the Budget 2024 savings program. In the same way that households have adjusted their budgets and their spending, as a government we have had to do the same. Ministers have gone line by line through the funding they are responsible for to evaluate whether it represents the best use of precious taxpayer dollars. As I said yesterday, this line-by-line process has uncovered more than 240 individual saving initiatives for inclusion in Budget 2024.
Supplementary. What will the savings be used for?
The savings will be used for two things. The members opposite laugh at the New Zealanders who are paying higher rates of tax than they have in 14 years, because it's their view that they can always spend it better than New Zealanders can in their own families. But on this side of the House, we are making savings so that they can be both used to provide long overdue tax relief for hard-working New Zealanders and also be used to invest in government priorities, including frontline services. On Thursday, members will see examples of careful reprioritisation in almost every area of government, freeing up cash to go towards things like training additional teachers. Well, if the member opposite wants to talk about children, let's talk about the young people who will benefit from the Gumboot Friday mental health counselling sessions that her side of the House seems to oppose. And additional funding for surf lifesavers. We are making active choices to stop some areas of spending so that we can redeploy those funds to better uses.
$442 million of savings was found at Corrections. $99 million from the Defence Force was reprioritised from backroom and reinvested into salary increases and equipment. The government has also stopped work on the income insurance scheme, stopping work on the industry transformation plans, stopping work on Lake Onslow, repealing the clean car discount, pulling government out of Let's Get Wellington Moving project, and $170 million from school lunches by replacing hot, nutritious meals with a sandwich. Savings have also come from job cuts and redundancies. So just how many public service job cuts and just how much money has the government acquired as a result of workers losing their jobs?
The government's baseline savings exercise will remove around 2,250 roles from government departments, as well as closing around 1,150 vacancies. Further savings initiatives, additional to our baseline exercise, will remove a little over 500 roles. The number is subject to change and will remain so after Budget Day. Mr. Speaker, my heart goes out to anyone losing their job. Budget 2024 has required us to carefully reprioritise taxpayers' dollars. The members on the opposite side of the House seem to think there's a magic money tree at the end of the garden, or at least if it's not at the end of the garden, that magic money tree is New Zealand taxpayers whose pockets they never give up on fleecing.
Question number three, the Right Honourable Chris Hipkins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Tulafalava. To the Prime Minister, does he agree with the then Leader of the Opposition, Christopher Luxon, who stated on the 19th of September 2023 regarding the National Party's proposed tax cuts that, quote, for an average household income family with young kids, that would mean $250 a fortnight?
Honourable Prime Minister.
In the context of that statement was made, yes. And I can confirm that this government will be delivering tax relief in this year's budget, supporting Kiwis with the cost of living, with more detail to come on Thursday. And like him, though I don't agree with Labor's tax policy at the election, he's already flip-flopped on capital gains tax, and my bet is he's going to flip-flop on GST too.
Supplementary question, Mr. Speaker. How many families will benefit from $250 a fortnight in tax cuts as a result of this year's budget?
As your former finance minister used to say, two more sleeps to go.
Supplementary question. How many extra dollars per week will a minimum wage worker keep thanks to his government's tax cuts?
Again, you'll have to wait till Thursday.
Supplementary question. Can he confirm that according to the National Party's own tax calculator, which has mysteriously been removed, minimum wage workers can expect an additional $2 a week?
Well, again, the member would have to wait till Thursday. But what I appreciate is the question about the tax calculator, because I do want to say to the few people that are watching this broadcast today, get on board, go to check out the official tax calculator on Thursday evening, see how much benefit you're going to get.
Supplementary, how many extra dollars per week will a typical property investor keep thanks to the government's tax cuts?
That'll be dependent upon their individual circumstances. But what's great is that we have restored interest deductibility, we've reduced the bright line test, and we're balancing laws between tenants and landlords so we get a greater supply of rental properties in the housing market.
A supplementary question. Can he confirm that a typical property investor can expect to keep an additional $288 per week per property, or 144 times what a minimum wage worker can expect to keep?
Well, what I can confirm is that this is a government that is going to solve the housing crisis. Unlike his government, they had 6 years to do it and didn't deliver.
The next part I to the Prime Minister is in response to the Hui Corridor Minister for Resources Shane Jones held in the South Island mining town Blackball. That's where he announced the reintroduction of mining.
Question number four, in the name of Chloe Swarbrick.
To the Prime Minister, does he stand by his government's statements and actions?
So in the context they were given.
Does the Prime Minister believe that more coal mining and oil and gas drilling is consistent with a livable planet or meeting our climate goals, as he has said that he is committed to?
Well, what I'd just say to that member is I would encourage her to read an excellent speech given by the Minister of Resources, Shane Jones, in the last week. It's an absolutely thoughtful speech, and it talks about the role that actually mining will play in New Zealand and helping us make that transition. You know, here's the deal. Every EV, every smartphone, every solar panel, every wind farm needs minerals. We can't just make them out of thin air.
Is he aware that that very speech he's referencing of the Honourable Shane Jones, where he repeated the International Energy Agency's assessment that the world needs six times more rare minerals for green transition, is premised on a rapid phase-out of fossil fuels and an end to coal mining?
Again, what I'd say to you is it's a very thoughtful speech, and there's no way we can deliver our transition to a clean economy without minerals.
If he disagrees with the International Energy Agency and the Independent Climate Change Commission and the world's top scientists that there is no future in fossil fuels or coal mining, from who is he actually getting his advice?
Well, look, I think the member would understand that actually mining is very important for helping us actually adopt EVs, to use smartphones, to adopt solar panels, and make sure we get wind farms. We need minerals for that process and that transition.
The minister responsible for social housing is Minister Tamapōtaka, but the following question is being directed to the Minister for Housing, Chris Bishop. It's a great announcement, 1,500 social houses to be built by community providers.
Question number five, in the name of Rima Nakley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is to the Minister of Housing and asks, what announcements has he made regarding social housing places?
The Honourable Chris Bishop.
Mr. Speaker, last week I was proud to announce that Budget 24 allocates $140 million to funding 1,500 new social homes. This investment underlines the government's commitment to housing New Zealanders in need in a fiscally sustainable way. We will be funding these places to community housing providers. They do an outstanding job housing people in need, currently providing over 13,000 social houses around New Zealand, and they have the capability, expertise and desire to grow further. We're committed to growing the social housing sector.
And we're back to the budget. Labor's finance spokesperson Barbara Edmonds is the MP for Mana in Whanganui Ātara. She's also Parliament's first ever Pacifica finance spokesperson.
Question number six, in the name of the Honourable Barbara Edmonds.
Ma lore soi fōmanuia, Mr. Speaker. My question is to the Minister of Finance. Does she stand by her statement, quote, "These savings and revenue initiatives are the same as those in the National Party's tax plan, with some adjustments to reflect coalition agreements," unquote?
Mr. Speaker, I stand by the full statement I made in question time last Tuesday. There will be other savings in the budget, and these savings will be directed towards government priorities, including frontline public services. There will be an itemised outline of the savings and revenue measures being used to support our fully funded tax package that's going to put cash back in the pockets of hardworking Kiwis.
Sir Bill English is the author of a scathing report into Kāinga Ora. Media investigations show that Sir Bill English, a former National Prime Minister and Minister for Finance, was given the $500,000 job to review the Housing Authority through a couple of simple text messages with the Minister for Housing, Chris Bishop. And these exchanges were made weeks before Minister Bishop even got Cabinet sign-off for the review.
The question number eight, in the name of the Honourable Kieran McAnulty.
To Lord Falava, Mr Speaker. To the Minister of Housing, does he stand by his statement that the review into Kāinga Ora was, quote, thorough?
Yes.
Supplementary. How is it thorough when the organisation under review has stated, quote, there was relatively limited engagement with our organisation, leading to some review conclusions appearing to be based on analysis informed by anecdotes rather than independently considering the performance of the organisation?
Well, that, unsurprisingly, is Kāinga Ora's perspective. I prefer the findings of the independent review.
Supplementary. How is it thorough when he, in paragraph 56 of the relevant Cabinet paper, omitted that there were serious and credible concerns raised in Kāinga Ora's response, instead stating, quote, the board is broadly comfortable with the review recommendations?
Because, unsurprisingly, I didn't agree with Kāinga Ora's perspective on the review.
It appears in the text messaging between Bishop and English that Kāinga Ora were deliberately left out of the review.
Supplementary. When did he approach Sir Bill English to chair the review into Kāinga Ora?
Sir Bill and I talked soon after the election about whether or not he could help out in reviewing Kāinga Ora. Ultimately, that is what happened, alongside two other very credible and expert reviewers.
Supplementary. Did he advise Sir Bill English not to involve Kāinga Ora in the review?
No, and they were involved in the review. He met with Kāinga Ora alongside community housing providers, a range of people in the social sector, developers, builders, across a range of organisations in the social sector.
Supplementary.
Supplementary, the Honourable Kieran McAnulty.
How can he be confident this was a credible report when it ignored serious and credible concerns raised by Kāinga Ora, the details of which were omitted in the Cabinet paper, and he instructed the review not to involve Kāinga Ora?
Well, there's a number of factual inaccuracies there. Firstly, I didn't ask the reviewers not to involve Kāinga Ora. You should have listened to my last answer. The reviewers did talk to Kāinga Ora. And in relation to the first part of his question, the concerns that the member relays as apparently or purportedly credible and serious are not credible and serious. I appreciate that the member wishes to defend the record of Kāinga Ora under the last government. This government has a different attitude to that, and the public can see for itself the financial disaster that is that organisation.
Can I ask the Minister as to why should the Maori people in the Maori language suffer the ignominy of a disastrous housing policy and a name given to by somebody else in this Parliament?
Well, just,
One more time. Could the Minister tell us this, advise us as to why the Maori people, and dare I say it, the esteem of the Maori language, has suffered from the ignominy of a disastrous housing policy, such as Kāinga Ora, which has seen so many people without a home in a country they thought they could get a home in?
Sadly, Mr Speaker, the name Kāinga Ora has become synonymous up and down the country with poor housing outcomes and a poorly performing organisation. That is the tragedy, and that's my point. This government is committed to social housing for New Zealanders in a financially sustainable, fiscally responsible way, and in a way that partners with the community sector and people actually on the ground who need support and who are out there doing the mahi and doing such an important job for New Zealanders.
Question number nine, in the name of the Honourable Marama Davidson.
Thank you, Mr Speaker. To the Prime Minister, does he stand by his government statements and actions?
Yes, and in the context they were given.
Does he stand by his statement that, quote, we have well-established processes for managing ministerial conflicts of interest, and if so, how many times have those well-established processes been used during the development of the Fast Track Approvals Bill?
Yes, we do. And as I've said before, and as you've heard the Minister of Infrastructure say, the process is before Select Committee. If there's any sensible builds and improvements that can be made to the legislation, we'll happily take that on board. But we make no apologies for adapting something that David Parker brought in the previous government to actually fast-track and get things done in this country. We're going to build things.
Was a process for managing perceived or real conflicts of interest used in relation to the previously undisclosed dinner Minister Jones had with coal mining executives, including those from Te Kuha Coal Mine Project? And if not, why not?
There's a boiler.
What I'd just say to the member is that we've got a bill that's through the Select Committee process right now. We're taking feedback in the Select Committee process to say if it can be strengthened, if there's anything that people think that we can improve, we're happy to take that on board.
Was a process for managing perceived or real conflicts of interest used for the Minister for Fisheries dinners with fishing executives who may be looking to use the fast-track consenting process and who have previously donated to Minister Jones's election campaigns? And if not, why not?
Well, I reject the premise of the question. We have processes in place to manage conflicts, but most importantly, we are going to get this fast-track legislation done.
Will the Prime Minister commit to changing the fast-track bill so that the panel has ultimate decision-making powers to prevent any conflicts of interest in decision-making, considering a minister in his cabinet was lobbied by the mining industry before the bill was even introduced?
Well, again, the member didn't listen to my earlier answers to earlier questions, which was that the Minister of Infrastructure has said that he is open to sensible changes to the legislation that can improve it.
What would constitute a conflict of interest under the Cabinet Manual if none of these instances from his ministers warrant concerns from the Prime Minister?
Look, again, I just say to the member, we have policies, as you well know, through the Cabinet Office for managing conflicts, perceived or real.
Regional Development Minister Shane Jones, who's been under fire for his close links to the mining industry, visited two West Coast mines and had a private lunch with mining industry representatives without revealing the visits until afterwards. Jones told media that he had avoided pre-publicity to prevent a media public circus during his visits to a gold project near Reefton and a coal mine north of Greymouth.
Question number 11, in the name of the Honourable Jan Tinetti.
Earlier this month, Education Minister Erica Stanford didn't rule out any job losses as the government moves to end Aotearoa New Zealand's long-running reading recovery program. The program, which helps struggling readers, is being dumped as part of a $67 million shake-up of the way literacy is taught in state schools. The government is making it mandatory for schools to use a structured literacy approach to teaching. This is based on phonics, decoding, and word understanding. The Reading Recovery Program uses a different whole language approach, which has been criticised for using pictures to help children guess words.
Talofa, Mr. Speaker. To the Minister of Education, how many, if any, teachers will lose their jobs due to cuts to reading recovery?
Mr. Speaker, reading recovery contracts due to expire at the end of this year will not be renewed as this government commits to consistent use of best practice in our schools. Teaching staff who are employed under the ministry-allocated 271 full-time equivalent reading recovery roles have already been offered the opportunity to retrain using structured approaches to literacy, and many have already taken up this offer. The ministry advised that, therefore, current reading recovery teachers may not necessarily lose their jobs.
Children will lose access to reading recovery as a result of cuts to the reading recovery program and its teachers.
This government is introducing a Tier 2 and 3, which is small group and one-on-one interventions using structured literacy. So all children at primary school who are falling behind in their reading will have access to proven methods of interventions consistent with classroom teaching and structured literacy interventions.
Oh, is the Minister aware of the government's own report that found that children who partake in reading recovery program made double the normal progress expected? If so, why is she cutting the successful program?
Holding on to the past. Mr. Speaker, I will not continue to fund a program that at the core of its philosophy believes in teaching children the habits of poor readers. That research that that member is quoting is taking a look at reading recovery compared to what they're doing now, which is a little sprinkling of structured literacy. So what we know is when you do structured literacy, you get better results. So how about we just do structured literacy and see what happens, because we know the evidence backs that up.
The Honourable Jantonetti.
Will she guarantee that any future remedial reading program will be funded at the same amount as Reading Recovery and have the same, if not better, results than Reading Recovery?
Mr Speaker, absolutely.
Dr Carlos Chung.
My question is to the Minister for Mental Health.
Former I Am Hope Foundation Chair Sir Ian Taylor says the $24 million the government is putting into Gumboot Friday suicide prevention initiative over the next 4 years will be money well spent. The pre-budget announcement drew fire from Labor because current Chair Naomi Ballantyne had made donations to the National Party. But Sir Ian Taylor, the technology entrepreneur, says he joined the charity because of Mike Smith's vision and drive, and that independent research has estimated that every dollar it spends on free mental health counselling for suicidal young people is worth $5.70 to Aotearoa in social return.
What comments has he seen regarding his recent announcement about Gumboot Friday?
Honourable Matt Ducey.
Thank you very much, Mr Speaker. Budget 2024 will provide $24 million over 4 years to contract the I Am Hope Foundation to provide young people aged between 5 to 25 years with free mental health counselling services through the Gumboot Friday initiative. This will enable Gumboot Friday to provide more than 15,000 young New Zealanders access to free mental health counselling services each year. We know that mental health issues are one of the biggest issues facing New Zealanders each year. This announcement will play a vital role in enabling young people with mild to moderate mental health needs to access counselling services earlier.
Supplementary question, Dr. Usher Birrell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the Minister, did any other mental health charities have the opportunity to bid for the $24 million contract?
Mr. Speaker, two more sleeps to go.
Point of order.
It's an announcement that the government has already made, not something that the government may or may not be talking about on Budget Day.
But I think we'll have the question asked again.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Did any other mental health charities have the opportunity to bid for the $24 million contract?
Mr. Speaker, two more sleeps to go.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Just give me a few seconds to come to it. I think the point is that the question, when it's asked, was asked in the past tense about what happened at a particular time. It's a reasonable question, and it is not dependent on an answer on something that happens in a couple of days' time. The Honourable Matt Ducey.
Mr. Speaker, the commitment to Gumboot Friday was a coalition agreement.
Thank you. That brings to a close oral questions.
It's been a mixed bag of questions. Question time in the House, Tuesday, the 28th of May. It was also a lively day in Parliament as we head down to the budget on Thursday, the 30th of May. Thanks very much for joining us here on Wātea News. Paremata Pātai, highlights from Question Time, Parliamentary Debating Chamber. I'm Claudette Hauiti.
Ea tua sili sili e se, mā tau te sulaina lau a whio mō whaamanuianga matofi. Ua e whaau uina I mātou. E la fuai ni o mātou longona, ma mana tua taito tasi, I le amana ia ina o le masiofo o Peretania. Mātou te tatalo, ina ia tono ma wha amaoni fufuanga, ma whai unga oma I te tono o lenei mautafono. Ia talo sia taitai o lenei mālo, ina ia maua le tofa amamau, le wha apale pale ma leanga malu. A wale manuia ma le file mu ni usila. O le mātou te talo lea, e ala atu I le suafa pele o Jesu Keriso. Ameni.